in repentance. And he's crying out in his heart this great revelation. Behold, God, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Not just truth being spoken or proclaimed, but that's a necessity, that's a given. But God wants it in the inward parts. And that's what makes a Christian a Christian. There's truth in the inward parts. Now David, he must have realized, you know, sometimes you have an opinion of yourself, or you consider maybe yourself and what people think of you, and you want a good, honorable name and reputation. And David must have realized that he was no ordinary man. As a young boy, he killed wild beasts, a lion, a bear, a giant. His seven brothers, which was older than him, was passed over by the man of God. And David was sought out and brought in and anointed. Declare and sing, Saul has killed his thousands, but the mightiest, most renowned men of war, skillful in battle, gathered themselves to David. Now you don't have men joining themselves to you like that, unless you're a big man in the eyes of people. There is something about you that is different than most. And so all of this, and David reigned king for a total of 40 years. And when he died, he was buried in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is called the City of David. So respected was David that even after his death, Hiram, king of Tyre, was kind. He's so respected that even after his death, men did things for David's sake. And God became the standard for all the kings like him. God was known as the God of David. 2 Chronicles 34:3. And in the New Testament, in Revelation, the be tied to this phrase, the throne of David. God would not even divide the kingdom as again for David's sake. What a man. Loved him. David went in and out and among the people, and they so loved him. David's mentioned in the scripture, the name David is mentioned more than the name of Moses. David's mentioned 930 times, Moses 784 times. Bibles make clear the relationship between Jesus, the son of David, Jesus, the seed of David. As great a man as David was, David never got big in his own eyes. He stayed humble in his own eyes. And that is true greatness. When a man can be great and do exploits and be used in his greatness. And when David got Uriah's wife pregnant, God did not deal with that sin immediately. And what happened is the same thing that happens much of the time when sin is not dealt with. David, Bathsheba's husband, killed. God dealt with it. Sent Nathan. Nathan loved David. Covereth his sins shall not prosper. Isn't that what the Bible, the Word of God says? What does this mean? What does this really mean when you consider? When we think of the word prosper, when we think of that, idolatry, spiritual idolatry, they have prospered. The mega churches of our day. And those that are going to stand before the sin of deceiving people and polluting God's name and being used of the devil. The way we think of prosper, they too have prospered. And the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He that goes on in his sins shall not prosper. That word prosper means in the Hebrew, it means to push forward and break out in God. I don't think it's talking about monetary things. I don't talking about a worldly relationship with us. And how we talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the church of God and men and women. I want to push forward and I want to break out of the things that I need. Have you ever wondered what the end of David's life might have been, or if the truth hadn't caused David to set things right? Do you wonder what David might have been like? You know, sometimes you see a young couple illustrated this way. It's a nice girl marries a nice boy. And the boy seems genuinely a good young man. But in that man's things happen. Life goes on. Events take place. Through the events of life, the way that he handles them, and the way that he becomes a very wicked man. A man different than the girl married. Sometimes people change, not for the better. Different, becomes different. Well, you know, if people are allowed by God to go on in their sins, and they seem to make an agreement with their sin, and their sin becomes the norm, no longer convicts, it would seem like God has released them. I don't want that to ever happen to me, that God would release me. But David was purged. Purge me with hyssop. David's cry was that. Purge me with hyssop. And when Ananias dropped dead, what happened? The church prospered. The church went forward. And, you know, that little story about God killing Ananias and Sapphira, I think about that, and I wonder about that. How is it that that happened at the birth of the church, and it seemed like it was necessary to God that it be recorded for all the church age to read this thing, and God doesn't do it on a continual basis? You and I know, without judging, but you and I know that within the church, there's much of the time that money is misappropriated. At least to the extent of the dishonesty that was here. They sold something that was theirs because everybody else was doing it. And they gave to God. And it just, they made it look like, and they allowed the people to assume that they was given all that they had received for what they had sold and laying it at the apostles' feet. And Ananias and his wife talked about it. It was in their heart. Nobody else knew but God. And God dealt with it so harshly. And how many times is people on the television raising money for causes and they use propaganda of starving children and the money never gets there? Or even within local assemblies, money is raised and then it's not used. People are made to believe a certain... Money is very dangerous. Our attitude about money and the way that we handle it can become a danger to us. And so you wonder if even this isn't that big a deal, because it becomes a fairly habitual practice among churches. But God put it in there for the man that has a heart to consider that these things are a big deal. And I say that because there's so much going on in Christendom that seems to be accepted now, like it is no big deal, because it seems like God isn't dealing with it. People are going on, and people are what we call still prospering in life. But I want to prosper in God. God's church needs to break forth, go forth, and prosper in God. We need the power to live our message and to bring it to the world, to the sinner, in a way that they identify us as being different from others that say and claim the same things. Help us, Lord. Proverbs 4 and 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Not just assuming half-happedly, but with diligence, with time taken to examine yourself in light of God's word, with diligence, for out of this heart are all the issues of life. The source of life. That word issues means the outgoing or going forth. All the going forth of life comes out of the heart. Keep it. Pay diligent with all diligence. Matthew 12 and 34, Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth doth speak. I'm talking about truth in the inward parts. Brother Pastor Steve's been gone for 2 weeks, and it must seem like I picked right up where we left off when he left. But if I exhaust it, tell me to stop. But I still feel a need to talk about truth in the inward parts. For God's people to be gripped with that, like David was. David cried out, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Don't cast me away from thy presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore. Truth in the inward parts.
Yes. Amen.
When Brother and Sister Kyle's son-in-law was here a few weeks ago and preached, he said this, facts and truth are not the same. I was home, I wasn't here, but I was listening to the message. And he said, facts and truth are not the same. And he said it that way to get people's attention and to make them listen. And he got my attention, he made me listen. And I wondered how he was going to explain that. That truth and facts are not the same. I'm interested in this. I'm interested in your answer. Well, he was talking about spiritual things. He was talking about the kingdom of God. He was talking about God and God's kingdom being different than man and man's kingdom. He's talking about faith in God. And the facts are, the doctor says, I have cancer. The doctor didn't tell me that, but you know what I'm saying? The facts are, automobiles do not run on water. His did. The facts are, blind eyes don't see. The facts are, a little girl like Betty Baxter's little crooked, bent, deformed, twisted body that she couldn't even sit in a chair without her head looking out from underneath her arm. Just a mess. The facts are, that body does not straighten itself in a minute's time. That's the facts. But the truth is, God said, all things are possible to them that believe. All things are possible to them that believe. Now that's the truth. We know that's the truth. I want that truth in my inward part.
Amen.
There's things that apparently is wrong lots of the times because the facts, as the man says, are not lining up with the truth in the church much of the time. The truth is, by His stripes we are healed. That's the truth.
That's
by His stripes we are healed and were healed.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Yes.
Brother Allen, I don't know if you remember, but a couple of months ago I asked for prayer for Brother Allen because he had gangrene in his foot and they were going to have to cut it off. And he didn't want to lose his foot. And he's a babe in the Lord. He really is. He's a babe in the Lord. But he's so sincere and open. And he wants to know more. And he talks tenderly and affectionately towards the Lord. And he's an older man. And he's never known the Lord until recently. He didn't want to lose his foot. So we're praying for him. And this church prayed for him. And the day that he went to Bangor Hospital to have his foot amputated, because it's all wrapped up and the gut stuff on it and it's all wrapped up. And I was down to Deer Isle that day and I knew that he was going to be operated on. I don't know, it was afternoon. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I made a point to get to the hospital before the operation. Because I'd been praying for that foot. And even to the point where I knew that when the doctor unwrapped it, it could be whole and clean. Because by His stripes, that foot was healed. That's the truth. Well, I walked into the hospital and there was some family there. And Brother Alva Philbrook was there, and Brother Alva Philbrook came up to me. They had taken Alan into another room, so I didn't see him. But he came up to me, and he said that he told Brother Alan, "You know, Brother Alan, we've been praying that God will heal his foot. And even now, when the doctor unwraps his foot, it can be whole." And Brother Alva said that Brother Alan says, "Yes, Brother Alva," but then immediately went on to talk about the rehab. And so that kind of hurt Brother Alva's faith. Immediately he went on to say what the doctor's going to do and what's going to happen in rehab and all this and that. Well, I hung around because I wanted to wait until they took him in for surgery and unwrapped that foot. And there was another brother there that I think knew why I was hanging around. And I hung around, and they hadn't taken him in yet, And this other brother in the Lord, he said to me, like he knew, he said, "Jerry, you might as well leave." And I was disappointed in him saying that. But at the same time, I think he was making a statement to me. But Alan had his foot off. And they couldn't stop the infection after they took his foot off. Now he's had his leg off, up to his knee, I think. But that's not the truth. But that was the fact. That is the fact. Yeah. Romans 8 and 37 says, "We are more than conquerors. We are, at this present time, more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Loved is past tense. Speaks of something that is finished, done. We sing a song, "We have the power in the name of Jesus." That's the truth. The truth is, greater is He with a capital H that is in me than He with a little h that is in the world. That's the truth. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God for the truth. Amen. I want the truth in the inward parts. Yeah. I am crucified with Christ. That's the truth. I am crucified with Christ. I want that truth in the inward parts. I want the world crucified to me and me to the world. I want to be dead. So even in threat of my life, my inward part is saying, they can't harm me. They can't kill me. I'm already dead. I'm crucified with Christ. I want that truth. That truth of God that's not of this world. Is a different system. In me. The truth is, sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. My. I wish that preachers would stand up and start preaching that truth. My. Got to sin every day. No victory over sin. It's a lie. It's a lie. The truth is, you and I, we're pilgrims and strangers here on this earth. I want to live that truth. I want that truth to come out in my actions, not just out of my mouth. The truth is, Jesus said, "I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." What are you talking about, Brother Jerry? Wasn't all the apostles, except for one, martyred? Weren't they hurt? Uh-huh. Wrong thinking. We're not talking about the natural system of this world that we're in. We're crucified. We're pilgrims and strangers here. There's nothing that's going to hurt you, even if they kill your body. That's all they can do, Jesus said. Nothing can hurt me. The truth is that we really shouldn't have to tell people that we're Christians. That's the truth. The truth is, we should not have to sell and tell people that were that was in the camp meeting or the service how good the service was and how much the Holy Ghost moved. And there's sometimes that we'll talk about it, but that's like this. What a nice day it is. Why are you telling me that? I know it's a nice day. But I'm just enjoying it. What a nice day it is. Feel that cool breeze in your face. I'm not trying to sell it. I'm stating a fact. Yeah. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about this tendency to sell something, put something in people's minds. If we have to do that, then I wonder how much truth is in it. If I'm not an epistle that can be read without me telling people who I am, then who am I? Really? See what I'm saying? Really? If I am not an epistle that can be known and read of men, then who am I? These things that I'm talking to us about, I don't believe that I'm just being critical. No. I believe that I'm talking about the inward life. Amen. Lived on this earth. I believe that my intention is to be talking about Christ living in me. Being filled with His Spirit. Being a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and verse chapter 3 says this. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Question. Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendations from you? Ye are our epistle, read in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Truth in the inward parts. Living epistles. Brother Bob Garrity called me a few weeks ago and asked me a question. He wanted some advice or another opinion. And the question that he asked me, I guess he was doing some driver ed, sounds like, with some students. And he wanted to know if he should ask the man that he was working for, if it was okay to share his faith with the students that he was teaching how to drive. Well, right or wrong, at the time, I said, well, Brother Bob, if you do that, the door will probably be closed very tight. If you ask the man permission, he's probably going to close the door on you. Meaning it might be better just to, if you've got to share your faith, you feel to, do without asking. I thought maybe if he asked and the door was shut tight and then he did it anyways, it'd be worse. And his reply to me was, aren't you supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel? My reply was, yes, but I don't believe we're supposed to go into a man's house uninvited or unwelcomed And I mentioned Brother Terry going to L.L. Bean's. He don't go into the store and start preaching the gospel. He preaches the gospel where it is. He respects the rights or the preference of others, but he preaches the gospel in all the world. But he doesn't force it in a way that is illegal. Someday we may have to. Someday we may be illegal for saying what I'm saying right here in this church. Someday we may be illegal because somebody, two men, wants Brother Pastor Steve to marry him. Yeah. Well, that's all right to be illegal. Brother Steve, when he goes out to preach on the street, he goes in public forum areas and preaches the gospel. You know, we all know the story so well, mention it many times. Brother Charles Finney, when he went to that factory that day to take a tour of the factory, that's what he went for. He didn't go to preach. He went to take a tour. But the people there in that factory began to read God's epistle to them that day. You see, letters do speak when people are allowed or able to read them. Epistles speak when people are able to read them. Pilate knew that day when he stood in front of Jesus and asked him the question, what is truth? He knew that there was something different about this Jew than all the other Jews. He was reading the epistle, and there was something different. Because I don't really think that Pilate enjoyed the Jewish people. I don't think he had favorable thoughts towards them. But there was something different about this Jewish man. I tell young boys and young girls, when you're looking for somebody to marry, look for somebody and discern whether they have inside them a heart that really hungers and thirst for God. A heart that is true. Well, a lot of people are looking for a lot of different things. And lots of times in the church, young girls are looking for boys that can preach. Young boys are looking for girls that can sing. That's wonderful. If they can preach and if they can sing. But don't look for that. Look for that man, that young girl, that young boy, that when the things of God are mentioned and being talked about, his countenance sobers up. And you can just begin to read that epistle all over his face and see what's going on in his soul. He's true. His heart is true towards God. That's what you look for. I know a young lady, and she's raised in a Christian home, and nice young girl. She married one of the worst boys in the school where she went. Flamboyant, very good with words, very good personality. He wasn't saved. He was a bad boy. He came and got saved. And that's probably in her heart what she wanted to happen, and it did happen. And she married him, and her life has been a grief, a sorrow. She's been ripped apart so many times inside. And I told you that because I want to say this. I've always wondered if there was something in her heart that wasn't right, why she was attracted to this boy in the first place, if there was something in her own heart that wasn't right. Don't know. But there are some people that are reading, beautiful singers, wonderful preachers, and what they are reading is moving them away from God and true religion. You see what I'm saying? Not trying to be critical, just trying to teach a lesson. There are many young preachers that know how to do it, know how to say it. They got all the right words, and they can put on the countenance and the right emotion for the moment, but they're not true. People are reading them, and people are being turned away. My God, help us. Help us, God. There are so many people that have gone, been raised in church, and have turned their backs for reasons like this. Maybe even your brother, Sister Laura. These things have an ill effect on people. It makes them become first discouraged, then bitter, and then despondent. And so, look for a boy that you can read that is true to God. God's got his heart. He's wholehearted. And you can tell. You can tell. Because when you don't marry a guy after 2 months like Debbie did me. You wait at least a year. And being around a person for that long, in church, out of church, around family, around unsaved friends, around circumstances that just happen unexpectedly, you can tell who they are if you wait a little while and you watch and you discern. And that is why we teach our children not to get physically involved. Don't get physical, because when you get physical, that human emotion that takes place causes you to be blind so that you can't read, or you don't want to read. You don't want to know the truth. You just know what you feel, and you don't want to know the truth. Amen. Boys and girls that will stay true to God will stay true to you. 2 John verse 4 says this: I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. As we have received the commandment from the Father, they're walking in truth, they're living in truth. 3 John, verse 3, for I rejoice greatly again when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Where is it? In their heads? No. In the heart, in the spirit. That is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. You know the truth, but I rejoice that you're living in truth. Notice verse 9 and 10. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Well, you know something? This is not rare in Christendom today. There's still plenty of Diotrephes around. I got to close. I really don't want to close here, but time ran out. People, brothers and sisters, people sometimes are very careless to put their opinions on everything. They're critical, argumentative, sometimes by finding the fault in others or a fault in a church service. Sometimes people do that because it makes them feel better about themselves. And what if they were honest with themselves that they know about themselves, but yet if they can find others that has fault, somehow makes them feel better about themselves if they can verbalize it and talk about it. And so lots of times, even when a person is right, their attitude is wrong. People become so arrogant and sometimes to the point of even being ignorant. And so whenever I preach or teach, I want it to be known that the pastor can correct me, or if he feels like he needs to clarify something that I didn't make clear, he can speak up at any time. And you know what? If he did that, it would be uncomfortable for him, and it would be uncomfortable for you if he spoke up and said, you know, that's wrong, and this is right. It'd make you uncomfortable. It'd make me uncomfortable. But it's okay. I would go on and take that from the pastor. Take heed and be careful. That's all right. The truth that we have been speaking of is a very deep thing. I think you understand that by now. Not talking about facts, just facts. It's the substance of God Himself in man's spirit. The spirit of truth in man is what we're talking about. And I believe that when God's people walk in truth, we ain't going to have to beg God for power in our life.
Amen.
We'll have it. We'll have it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this short time again. I thank you, Lord, for teaching. And I trust, Lord, that if I am speaking your truth, and if you have put these things in my heart, and I'm doing my best to deliver them through my human frailties and inability and bad vocabulary, through all that, I trust that you will teach us these things and cement these things into the speaker's heart also. Lord, for you love us and you careth for us. And Lord, we want to please you. We want to bring honor to your name. We want to glorify your name. We want to be able to speak of you. We want to be able to have influence for you. Even in a culture where there's so much hypocrisy that men will point out to us, we want them to see that there's something different in us. And we want them to recognize that it is Jesus Christ. A man like no other man. A Jew like no other Jew. The Son of the living God. The Savior of the world. The one that purchased salvation for whosoever will. The one that loves so completely and so fully that nobody confronted with your love should be able to stand or resist it. And we want to be the church of the living God in this last day. For we know, Lord, that terrible times are coming. We, the church, your body, is facing in this world trouble like we've never known. And Lord, we want to be ready for that. We want to be able to stand. And so edify us and build us up, Lord. Together, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.